What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere, visit Hyland.com.
The OTB Podcast Network, with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural, protein-powered chicken bites.
Right, Nathan Murphy, good morning to you.
Morning, lads.
So the Tiger documentary, Owen has got an advanced screener because he's on one of those special secret mailing lists. He's a member of the Stonecutters. And so he's seen the first episode of the new HBO documentary. You, of course, have read the book. So perhaps a lot of the details of what's in the doc aren't going to be too much of a surprise. Owen, what is the most amazing stuff that has got you going, wow, in the first episode?
I'm not sure if all this stuff is in the book, Nathan, but certainly how I would say Tiger's parents would have viewed his first girlfriend. And we'll play a clip in a moment about how Tiger dumps his first girlfriend, which is clearly a directive from his parents because it's all about creating a robot, as she puts it in the documentary. And there can be no distractions. There can be no, walking down the garden path to show him the things in life that don't involve golf. I found that really interesting. And I guess how she has this lived experience of being something that the very early part of the Tiger machine chewed up and spat out. I'm not sure if that stuff was in the book itself, Nathan, or was that new to you?
No, that's all there. So the book, The Biography of Tiger by Jeff Benedict and Arma Katayan, it is one of the best sports books of the last few years. And the documentary, having watched it, somehow getting hold of a copy last night, it is a film version of the book and goes along a similar pattern. I would say there's probably more gossip in the book, in the film, than there was in the book. The book is split between really, really juicy gossip, but also a sort of constant reminder of Tiger's greatness and what went into making him such a great golfer. So there's not a huge amount of startling revelations, but it's still pretty fascinating to see and hear from some of the characters in Tiger's life. You have everybody from Dina, his first girlfriend, his kindergarten teacher is there, and you've got the big stars like Nick Faldo and Steve Williams. And I think the one thing you can take as read is that Tiger will never speak to any of these people again.
That's true. I do
Once
think
you're
as
outside
well,
that circle of trust, you are gone.
The thing that the documentary can do that the book probably can't is give more of a visual representation of what Tiger was in his childhood. And his first girlfriend does have incredible photographs and video content, which obviously you're not going to get from the book, which kind of portrays Tiger as this really goofy kid who was really fun and was not the serious sadness in his eyes sort of a teenager that he would become to go on and conquer the world. There are a couple of things we want to play here from the documentary. One of the things that always fascinates everyone, I think, around Tiger is his relationship with race, his view of it. And I guess we've heard Tiger talk about this a bit in the past, especially when it comes to some of the 90s archive. But the subject of Tiger and that interview he did with Oprah, referring to himself as Tablan Asian, is covered in the documentary. But what is really interesting is when they get Jim Riswold of Nike, and he tells us about the first meeting, or one of the first meetings he has with Tiger and his father, and they have this conversation about whether or not they want to play the race card. Have a listen to this.
Golf was very lily white, and there was some discussion. I brought it up. I said, do we want to play the race card? Nike's not stupid financially. Using Tiger to reach a wider range of golfers and expand the golf universe is a no-brainer. They said, fucking yeah, let's do this.
It's basically everything that you've heard about Tiger and everything that Tiger has said about, you know, trying to not play the race card in public ways is completely contradicted by what Jim Riswold says there. And this was certainly the strategy that they took up with Nike. And obviously, he doesn't say exactly who said that in the meeting. Was it Earl or was it Tiger? You could probably guess it might have been his father. And their amount of anecdotes about this guy is incredible, especially the hard ass that he was on the course. We get a few stories about some of the stuff he did to Tiger to basically wind him up. Joe Groman is one of the main voices in part one. He's going to be a big part and big voice in part two as well. He suspects he's a friend of Earl's who would have spent a lot of time on the same golf courses as him. And it's his voice here first telling us about some of the stuff that Earl would have done to wind Tiger up.
Earl invited me to play with him and Tiger. Mind you, I still don't know who Tiger is. I just think he's Earl's kid. So I'm kind of checking him out while we play. Whenever Tiger would go to hit, Earl would start jiggling his change and talking to me like I'm talking right now, loud, just being completely rude.
That didn't work.
Finally, on the sixth hole, I shush Earl. I shush him. And Earl's like, Joe, don't you know what I'm doing? He goes, I'm preparing Tiger to play through distraction when he gets to the tour.
Earl did everything he could to toughen his boy up. One of the things that really made Tiger incredibly strong was this ability that he had taught to him by his father's friend, who was a naval psychological ops operative, basically, a psychologist, to hypnotize himself. People say, oh, Tiger's in the zone. But he literally was in some sort of a trance, which is an amazing thing that you would do for a kid that was 13 or 14.
Is this parenting inspiration for you, Nathan?
Well, I think the theme of the entire documentary is Earl Woods' influence on Tiger on and off the course, and how much credit you can give Earl Woods, but also how responsible he is for the character the Tiger ultimately became. And the documentary starts with this famous speech of Earl Woods when Tiger is back in college, saying that this young man is going to transcend the game. He's going to bring the world humanitarianism never before seen. The world will be a better place by virtue of his existence. And that is the sort of pressure that Earl was putting on Tiger, not just to be the greatest golfer that ever lived, but to be one of the greatest humans that ever lived. Now, he's hit half of that. He did transcend the game. He is the greatest golfer who ever lived. He's in the running for the greatest sports person who's ever lived.
One out of two ain't bad, yeah.
But as a humanitarian, he has come up short. And even going back to Nike, like, you sort of see that develop into Tiger's fan base. And what it did was allow white America to pat itself on the back. It allowed white America to say, how can we be racist when we like to watch this black golfer win all these golf tournaments? And it is to the shame of golf more than Tiger that we're a quarter of a century on, there's still only one other black golfer on the PGA Tour. So they haven't capitalized on his success within that community at all. And then there's the other side. There's the everyday life side, which they touched on a little bit. Part of the callousness, I think, that was there from his father went through to Tiger. And we saw that with his breakup from his first girlfriend, who they were incredibly close. And the footage is one of the highlights of seeing a very different Tiger Woods as a teenager in a very relaxed setting, having the crack at a party, just not the sort of Tiger Woods you would have ever seen. But they split up with a letter that, while it might be in Tiger's writing, is written by his parents, and that is the end of it. They, it seems, are destined maybe for marriage, even though they're still quite young. And like that, it is all over. And they don't touch on it hugely in the documentary, but it's there throughout the book. And I think it was Jimmy Stewart, who's one of the NBC columnists, he put it that Tiger demanded respect, but he never, ever returned it. And he went through life thinking that everybody owed him. And like, Tiger was notoriously tight, to the extent that at one stage PGA Tour officials would be going around tipping on his behalf. So there was something about him that he never felt the need ever to say thank you. And that's the same with Earl. So we hear from his coach there. Earl was a genius at knowing the power of Tiger. So Earl would present Tiger along the way as he needed better quality of coaching. And he would go and he would meet the coach that he wanted to coach him. And he would show him Tiger. And straight away, the dollar signs would flash in front of the coach, thinking, this guy, you could tell at such a young age, had all this potential. But the coach would never be paid. The coach was sort of strung along on the pretense that, well, this guy is going to be the greatest golfer and you're going to be his coach. And then when they were done with him, they dumped him and your man never got paid. So there's that level of, is it pettiness, of just badness and that was there. But did it all work out? And the other thing, going back to what Earl had to say when Tiger was a young man, about 2 minutes later, one of their friends says, Earl was a first-class bullshitter. Like, he sort of guided his way through this by chancing his arm a lot, by building Tiger up. But it put Tiger in a position that he's never lived up to. And even today, when you're talking about Bill Belichick handing back his medal for of honor. Tiger Woods received one from Donald Trump, a smiling Tiger Woods beside Donald Trump, 18 months ago at this stage?
Yeah, well, look, he'll always have that. I mean, he also has to take responsibility for his own decisions here. I can't give the man a free pass. He's a grown man now, and he's still making decisions. He's still that same person. So while the apple might not fall far from the tree, and it's, you know, he has been raised in this specific way, at some point along the way, he gets the opportunity to say, my value system is wrong, and I need to fix that. I could learn to tip, for example.
But he didn't. And the way and what we will see...
But that's on him is my point.
It is, but clearly it is. And everyone has to take responsibility for their own actions. But he was huge. His father was by far and away the most influential figure in his life. And part one finishes with this sort of teasing shot of Rachel Ushatel taking a seat in front of the camera. And Rachel Ushatel is the first woman that Elin discovered Tiger was having an affair with. And she's the woman that led to Tiger crashing into the fire hydrant that night and this pretty lurid sporting scandal. But all that followed with that Tiger story, Tiger had seen his father do, obviously, away from the glare. But the way Earl Woods treated people was the way he treated women. He just picked them up, threw them away. And Tiger was in situations with his father that no child should be around. And it's hard to see how he wasn't damaged by that. Now, that is not in any way to excuse what he did. But his father was this influence that... I think while he had a hugely damaging effect, Tiger wouldn't have been the golfer he was without him as well.
It's a curious parallel, if nothing else, really, when you hear these stories of how Earl Woods behaved. You mentioned that letter, Nathan. We have that audio here. And just to give a quick bit of context to it, this is Dina Parr, Tiger's first girlfriend, reading out this letter. And basically, Tiger comes home from college early one weekend and spends the night with her, doesn't tell his parents. When he eventually gets home the day after, his parents go absolutely crazy and tear into him. And then not long afterwards, Dina receives this letter, which she reads out. Have a listen.
Dina, the reason for writing this letter is to inform you my parents and myself never want to talk or hear from you again. Reflecting back over this relationship, I feel used and manipulated by you and your family. I hope the rest of your life runs well for you. I know this is sudden and a surprise, but it is, in my opinion, much warranted. Sincerely, Tiger. Yeah, it was awful. I mean, we've been in this three-year relationship. And, you know, I thought about, should I drive over there? I just wanted to confront him. I just wanted him to look me in the face and tell me this. If it's the truth, then we're good. Then our relationship is a whole lie. That's fine. But I want to hear it from you. It's just, I replay that day in my head over and over again. What happened? What really triggered all this? But... you know, I have to, it has to be that it was just the plan.
Well, that's pretty horrific behavior. What is it with golfers and breaking up with people by text?
Yeah, in the build up to the letter, so we see the video of them having a very good time together, but also Dina is from a very regular background and talks to Tiger a lot about having to have some sort of normality in his life, that as he goes through golf, he's going to have to retain the other side, and also how he's going to have some balance in his life. And you can just imagine his parents listening to that. And it is both his parents. While Earl was front and center, his mother in the background was pushing Tiger just as hard. You hear her, like, Tiger, you know, when you get the opportunity, you kill them. She described Phil Mickelson as Hefty Phil. Rather than Lefty, she described him as Hefty. So this was there at every possible turn for Tiger. This was what he was being met with.
Yeah, okay. So look, he didn't have much chance. But at the same time, okay, so maybe he gets a bit of a free pass for some of the stuff, but not all of it. Last clip?
Yeah, actually, do you know what? Let's play the last clip. This is, as Nathan mentioned, about the behaviour of his father. So Tiger's away with his dad. Earl is cheating. And this is Dina Parr again, who tells this story. Have a listen.
When Tiger and I were still together... he would travel in the summer for tournaments with his dad. And he called me one time, and I will never forget. He was sobbing on the phone, uncontrollably. I couldn't even understand what he was saying. He was so upset. He, you know, finally caught his breath and, you know, said, my dad's out again. He met this girl, and they're going out. The sound of Tiger's voice was so upsetting. I wanted to crawl through the phone and just take care of him. I've never heard somebody in my life so upset. And his dad, I don't think, really cared that he knew it. I think that also bothered him. Like, why would you not try to hide this from me? Why would you just, you know, let me see this? Tiger's mom was a loyal, good mother, and he absolutely loved her. So there was an anger there with his dad. But he could never show it. He could never express it. He had to keep that in. And it changed the relationship with him and his dad. Did he still idolize him and love him? Absolutely. But it changed. It changed.
Right. So part one of the documentary has aired. When is part two? Part two is in the States this week, is it, or next week?
This week again, I think, yeah.
Right.
So hopefully it comes to an Irish screen near you very, very shortly.
Okay. It will be interesting to see how it ends, because the book came out a couple of years ago before Tiger won the Masters. So while it's being teed up as the real salacious stuff from the night of the fire hydrant and talking to a lot of those that he was having affairs with, it obviously also, well, in some ways, it's probably reflective of everything that went on, where we have this genius on the golf course, but it's built up to modern day, where he has matured into this, you'd have to say, politically extremely disappointing 45-year-old.
Right. So that's that. Time for Deal or No Deals.
The OTB Podcast Network, with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural, protein-powered chicken bites.